All right, everybody, welcome on into the Auburn Daily Show, episode 6 of the Auburn Daily Show. Lance Dahl here with you, hanging out with Dylan Lark on this beautiful Monday afternoon in Auburn, Alabama. Dylan, we've got a lot of stuff to get to today. We're going to be talking about all of the different things that happened for Auburn football recruiting over the weekend. A lot of different transfer portal pickups, a couple different signees. We're going to be talking about those guys, and then also we're going to be talking about Auburn football's projected depth chart. Lindsey Crosby here, writer at Auburn Daily, decided to run down the list, give everybody some ideas as to what the 2023 team would look like if the roster did not add anybody after this point. Of course, they probably will. We'll get to that later on. But Dylan, we had a phenomenal weekend for Auburn football recruiting. Hugh Freeze out there, Yahtzee after Yahtzee. He picked up a lot of different guys, and it started with the signee of three-star Tyler Scott.
Yeah, Tyler Scott committed during the fourth quarter of the All-American game during that blowout of a game. If you watched it, you know, the East won by, I believe, about 100.
It was somewhere around there.
But Tyler Scott is a three-star defensive back, 6'1", 195 pounds. And something I love about this class, just going to go ahead and put it out there, Gus Malzahn did not recruit 6-foot-tall corners. And now there's only two DBs out of seven in this class that are sub 6 foot, and it's our two highest rated ones. But
it's interesting you point that out. That's been a point of, if you remember, Dylan, back whenever we were doing On the Line over at ESPN 106.7, something that you, me, and Noah, and then everybody that came through there would kind of talk about. I believe one offseason we were going through a depth chart, believe it or not, and we were talking about how it feels like Auburn, specifically in the Gus Malzahn era, recruited positions undersized consistently, and defensive back was one of them. Now, Auburn's had some really good DBs come through, Carlton Davis, Roger McCreary, some different guys that have been sub 6 foot, but it's not necessarily like the best thing to do. You know, if you're trying to find diamonds in the rough, it's very similar to Auburn basketball, right? They have a backcourt consistently that's a little bit undersized, but they're good at different things, and Bruce Pearl likes to use them in his system. Well, for Auburn football, now we're starting to see it trend in the opposite direction. Guys like Smoke Monday have come into the program that are like 6'3". Sylvester Smith, I believe, is a little bit taller. Tyler Scott, like you mentioned, 6'1". Auburn's picking up some length in the defensive backfield, and to be honest with you, I think it's a really, really good sign of things to come. Now, does size immediately equate to production, specifically when it comes to DBs? I don't necessarily know. You could probably make the argument for different positions like O-line and things like that, but I do like to see Auburn recruiting kids that probably, if they do find themselves in one-on-one matchups, are going to be aided by the fact that they're a little bit taller.
Yeah, it really helps with this new age of offense that is coming through the SEC, especially like if you go look at TCU tonight, go Horned Frogs, by the way, Quentin Johnston is 6'4". And when you put a 5'11" guy against a guy who is 6'3" and above, it's kind of hard for that guy to break up passes, get interceptions, stop him. If you're a fan of Auburn, you know the 2013 Iron Bowl, or not Iron Bowl, National Championship.
Well, also in the Iron Bowl, Amari Cooper broke free on a touchdown as well.
Yeah, but that wasn't due to size. That was just tripping off your own foot.
It happens. Maybe the hype messed it up. I'm kidding. But yeah, I agree with you. I think that Auburn is definitely putting themselves in a better position with this recruiting class as far as the defensive backs and their height goes. He's going to join guys like Kay and Lee, one of the better DBs in this recruiting class from a ranking standpoint. Sylvester Smith, like I mentioned, Terrence Love, the two safeties there. J.C. Hart. I mean, Auburn's got a lot of different guys coming in that they should be really excited about in that backfield. But the trenches, Dylan, is something that we emphasized last week as you and I had a conversation. We talked a lot about the offensive line, but Auburn got a couple of guys up front that I think they should be really excited about in the transfer portal. Maryland defensive end Messiah Nasili-Kite committed to the Tigers also this weekend, was a former three-star prospect. He will have 1 year of eligibility remaining, very experienced. He also joins Vanderbilt edge transfer Elijah McAllister. Really excited about this guy. Really needs some experience up front.
There's like a trend going on with all of the transfers brought in for the defensive line and edge rushers. They all have 1 year of eligibility left just because Auburn needs that experience on the D-line front. Messiah, 6'2", 310 pounds. So, you know, he's a nose tackle. He'll be up there with Jason Jones. And I think he just adds the right amount of size the defensive line is going to need. And I mean, it's kind of hard to push a guy who's 310 pounds out of the way. And I mean, you talked about it with Elijah McAllister be playing edge rusher, but the other D lineman we got, we'll talk about it a little in a second, but both of them are about the same build and they both had experience on this D line that really needs it. I mean, this one of the youngest groups of position groups Auburn has going in the next year and lacks experience. And
it was a topic of conversation, I think, throughout this season about the fact that Auburn's defensive line, not only was it thin at certain positions because of injury this year, it was also a concern moving forward. Like, where is Auburn going to get that experience? And like you said, most of these guys, there's a trend here. They have one year of eligibility remaining. They've got a lot of experience. Now, statistically, these guys have not been the most productive. I mean, you look at Nasili Kite. He had 26 tackles, 2.5 tackles for loss this season. The year before that, it was kind of a step down for him. 37 tackles, 7 tackles for loss, and 4 sacks in 2021. So obviously, he's got a little bit of production to go with it. And to be honest with you, you don't expect a lot from a nose tackle. You expect him to kind of be there, plug gaps and such. But I think it's great to see Auburn identifying their needs and actually going out and executing and getting that depth. Now, is it high-end depth? Is it 5-star depth? No, but Hugh Freeze understood that heading into this year that he was going to have to kind of build things up a little bit more than he would like to with this transfer portal class and getting somebody that's 300 pounds to kind of be another stopgap in what was a very leaky run defense last year, I think is great to kind of have him backing up Jason Jones. The second level of the defense, I think you and I, Dylan, actually talked about three big positions of need. Actually, I don't know if it was us, but somebody recently on the show talked about three big positions. Was it you and Harrison?
It was me and you. We did the
It was us.
New Year's resolutions.
All my days are getting mixed up, and I'm filled with so much Auburn Daily content, I can't remember who did what. But we were talking about the importance of linebacker, arguably being outside of offensive line, the biggest position of need for Auburn, needing somebody to fill in the hole that Owen Papo is going to leave in this defense. Well, Auburn is getting an interesting transfer from LSU, former 4-star DeMario Toland, committed to the Tigers this weekend as well. Auburn was looking at him, if I'm not mistaken, Dylan, with this past coaching staff, and they were not able to land Toland. He committed to LSU, but second time around, they got him.
Yeah, and you talk about replacing Owen Papo. I don't think you can get any closer to an Owen Papo-level linebacker than DeMario Toland. He's got basically the same build. He's 6'2", 222 pounds. His strength is actually pass coverage. And he does need more development, the pass rush element of it. But I definitely see him coming into this defense and possibly being the starting linebacker right off the bat. He just needs just a little bit more development, and I think we have the staff to do that.
I want to make a note here, a direct quote from one of our articles here over at auburndaily.com, just talking about the commitment of DeMario Toland. Lindsey Crosby wrote this one, a direct quote here. Cam Riley and Wesley Steiner took up a lot of snaps this past season, but neither player graded out well per Pro Football Focus. Riley came in 33rd on defense with a 57.2 score. If not any of you out there don't know what Pro Football Focus is, it's a grading system essentially. Well, it's obviously the PFF does a lot more than that, but they have a grading system for college players where they can kind of look at different things that they do on field. I think most of it is subjective, if I'm not going to lie to you, but they tend to be pretty accurate with how they perform overall on the field, and a 57.2 score is very poor. It's 33rd, like Lindsey mentioned on the defense, but Riley came in 33rd on defense. Steiner was 35th with a 56.3 grade, which is also not good. Owen Papo was the only linebacker to grade in the top 15 of the defense with a score of 69.6. So that just goes to show you how weak this linebacker core was last year, according to PFF at least. But I mean, you go and watch the product yourself, it was not the most impressive, I would think. And it's weird. I don't want to call anybody out. I don't want to say that, oh, it's the player's fault, it's the coach's fault, it's whatever. I think it was just a hodgepodge of just a bad situation. Owen Papo, I do not think was a bad player. Obviously, he showed it despite what was going on around him. So, but the point being, Auburn needs new bodies in that room. They need to kind of get a reset on that. DeMario Toland obviously going to be able to help, especially considering he was also a former blue chip recruit. Is something that you like to see in the transfer portal, kind of rare to do, get a blue chip recruit. Auburn's gotten a couple, and they picked up one more defensive lineman, Lawrence Johnson, from Purdue, just to get a little bit deeper on the front. Another 300 plus pound guy, Dylan.
Yeah. If you listen to College Loop as well, you know how much I love the big boys up front. both on the offensive side and the defensive side. This guy's got an inch on Mosiah. He's 6'3", 310 pounds. He transferred from Purdue, and again, he just adds more experience. I don't think he's as likely to be a starter as a Mosiah would be, but I definitely think that the experience that he adds coming from a Purdue really helps his defensive line even more.
Yeah, and you look at the production last year. I mean, not a whole lot doing there, but you look at the amount that he actually played up front, 451 snaps on the defensive line. Around 400 of those came from the defensive end position. Interesting that Purdue's electing to go with a 310-pound player on their end of the defensive line. Could be fun to see what Auburn tries to do there. I would like to expect that he would probably work somewhere in the interior just based off of his size with the Tigers, and I agree with you. I think Lawrence is, again, Auburn needs all the depth they can get. But if we're talking about these guys and breaking down maybe where they would fall here on a depth chart, which we will actually get to here in just a little bit, I think that he's probably going to be under somebody like Vasily Kite if we did have to speculate now. But it's really, really good to see Auburn kind of, again, filling positions of need. But Dylan, there is one more player added to what is already a loaded defensive back class here, and that is 3-star safety CJ Johnson.
Yep, CJ Johnson, a 6'3" safety. I've watched a little bit of his film, and I've never seen a guy who he's 193 pounds, so he's a little undersized weight wise. But watching him play, he was able to square up on tackles and take down guys who were bigger than him. And he plays aggressively when the ball's in the air. And he's just, I don't think he's going to be a guy you can expect to see day one like some of these other guys that are in this class. But I definitely think that he is going to be a future impact guy. And we talked about NCAA 14 last time we had the show. And he's definitely the kind of guy that you'd put on as like a linebacker from a safety and get a lot of user picks. So I like what I see from him.
There you go. I like the NCAA 14 comp. I'll give you another comp here, Dylan. Actually, I just had to pull up Smoke Monday's dimensions. Johnson, 6'3", 193 pounds. Smoke Monday coming out of high school was 6'3", 185. So could we be getting a Smoke Monday replacement? I can already hear the whistle blowing, the flag being thrown for targeting. Hopefully CJ Johnson's able to clean that up a little bit if he does show out in the defensive backfield. But yeah, another really, really good pickup as far as length goes. Again, adding to a very, very stacked defensive back group. Shout out to Zach Etheridge, man, for continuing to work extremely hard and kind of holding things together on that side of the football. Any final thoughts on these five guys, Dylan, before we move on to the depth chart?
I will say, I didn't get to say my one note about Tyler Scott. I read his recruiting profile, and my favorite word to use for defensive players is the word scrappy.
Yeah, and that's kind of what's been the hallmark of Auburn DBs over the past few years.
And yeah, I don't think Zach Etheridge gets paid near enough for what he has done with this recruiting class. And just to put it out there, one more recruit is going to be committing tomorrow at about 8 p.m. that we're looking at. Micah, I don't know how to say his last name. I've heard Mazuka. I've heard Moskua.
I saw on Baylor's website how to pronounce it. That's the Baylor interior offensive lineman, right?
Yes.
Big and, for Auburn if they're able to get him.
And I was talking to Harrison Tarr, and he said it'd be a great idea to have a guy with the name Mazuka right next to the guy named Gunner.
Hey, you got Bazooka and Gunner right beside each other. I love that.
If only Tank had stayed. Explosive offense, really.
The offense would literally be called the Arsenal. It would we can't say Arsenal because it's too close to anyway. Moving along. Hey, before we get to Auburn's depth chart, I want to tell you guys about our friends over at Prize Picks. This season, Auburn Daily has partnered with Prize Picks to bring some fun and variety to the picks for 2023. Prize Picks is a free app that allows you to choose any 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 players from any sport in your wagers. You can predict the over or under for the next game and win big prizes if they do well. They've got flex options where you can still get paid if you only get 3 of your 5 picks correct or 2 of 3 or anything like that. And you have multiple sports, in the same parlay as well. So you could do college basketball. You could do NFL. Now that the playoffs are getting going, you could do some NBA as well. And best of all, you can use promo code Auburn, AUBURN, to receive double on your first deposit, up to $100. Again, that's promo code Auburn for double for your first deposit. I mean, with college basketball season going on, I'd encourage you, go check out Prize Picks and use Auburn Daily and use promo code Auburn. All right. The big thing I wanted to get to here, Dylan, the depth chart for the Auburn Tigers. Lindsey Crosby, again, writer over here at auburndaily.com, does a phenomenal job with his baseball pieces, but he decided to write up the depth chart, what the team could potentially look like. He noted in his article, it is a very early depth chart projection, so nobody needs to get mad. Returning starters are in bold over at auburndaily.com if you want to go check it out. There are probably some positions that are going to look a little bit differently in terms of who's starting, I think, if Auburn continues to work through the transfer portal. But overall, I mean, Hugh Freeze has already done a lot to kind of get this ball rolling, and I'm really excited to take a look at what the team could look like now that it's revamped in this first year under Freeze. Starting with the offense, obviously, Dylan, you've got quarterbacks, and right now Auburn has not picked up a transfer portal quarterback. The smoke around Spencer Sanders, I think, may be starting to die down just a little bit. Where Auburn goes next, I'm not sure. There are some rumors floating around that they could be looking at a couple different places, but there's nothing anywhere close to being confirmed right now that I would feel comfortable talking about. But right now, Dylan, Robbie Ashford, QB1, redshirt junior, and he's kind of being talked about as the second guy when Auburn gets a portal quarterback. But to be honest with you, I think under Hugh Freeze, he's got a legitimate shot to take that number one spot.
Oh, for sure. I mean, my comparison to Robbie Ashford was Malik Willis, who definitely played a whole lot better once he got under a Hugh Freeze offense. But with Spencer Sanders and the Grayson McCall, all that is kind of dying down now, especially with Grayson McCall going back to Coastal. And I don't know where Spencer Sanders is going to be going now. But with Robbie Ashford, I think his development is going to take a steep incline in the right direction, especially under Hugh Freeze. And I mean, I don't think you go wrong with either one of the two guys, but I do think Robbie is definitely the guy. And right now, a transfer quarterback would just mean someone to give Robbie a little bit of push forward. I think Spencer Sanders and Grayson McCall were the only two guys who you could definitely say, yeah, they're coming, but they're going to be starting. You can't really do it with Robbie.
I think that this is something that we discussed on last week's episode, Dylan, as far as looking at Auburn's depth at that position. I think Auburn would genuinely be comfortable taking a quarterback just simply for depth behind Robbie, because you look behind him, if he gets injured, Auburn's going to be starting somebody with a lot of inexperience, and that's probably going to be Holden Gariner. And I don't know if Auburn's necessarily comfortable saying that's our QB2. So maybe go out and get somebody to, like you said, compete with Robbie, push Robbie, elevate Robbie, but at the end of the day, be that number two guy. I don't know how comfortable, to be honest with you, now that I'm thinking about it, a four-year starter at a Power 5 school would be transferring to another Power 5 school just to sit behind another quarterback like Spencer Sanders. So maybe Auburn's looking in a different direction to find somebody that would be comfortable doing that. I don't know. It's definitely an awkward situation because you mostly leave the portal to go find more playing time or more opportunity, right? With Auburn's case, I think they've got somebody that they could feel confident in. And so it's just a weird situation, but we'll continue to monitor it. I think, again, Auburn's looking in a couple different spots right now, but nothing confirmed. Robbie Ashford, QB1, Holden Gariner, QB2, Hank Brown, the true freshman three-star, would probably be QB3. Running backs, Jarquez Hunter, not much else to say here. He's going to be the starter. You've got a loaded group here with Jeremiah Cobb, Damari Alston, Sean Jackson also in here as well. But I think Hunter's going to be that number one guy.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that. Jarquez is going to be the focal point of this rushing attack. Damari is going to come in to kind of be that passing down running back. And I think Jeremiah Cobb, he might get redshirted. I'm not too sure. I think Sean Jackson is good enough to kind of take over whatever role that Jeremiah Cobb is going to have in the future. Because, I mean, Jarquez, he could easily have a top-notch year and go early to the draft. But, I mean, I think Auburn is planning on trying to add another guy into this mix just to, like, I've heard Brian Batty from USF thrown into the mix. And, I mean, Auburn's running back room is loaded.
That's what I was about to say, is they're looking at a guy right now, if I'm not mistaken, from USF, like you said, Brian. And he was almost like a 1,200-yard rusher, averaged like over 6 yards a carry, if I'm not mistaken, has been pretty good throughout most of his tenure with the Bulls. And you look at his dimensions, he's like 5'8". So you're looking at Sean Shivers, you know, round two, probably not as heavy. I think he was listed at like 180, 170 pounds, but
165 pounds.
Oh, great. So he's lighter than me. Crazy. But I think that he could, I think that he could be an interesting pairing in that backfield with Jarquez Hunter, just to kind of give somebody to be a complimentary style back. Of course, I don't necessarily know if a 1200 yard rusher wants to do that, but any opportunity to move up to the Power Five level would probably be accepted, I would assume. But that's the running back room. Got a lot of depth there. Speaking of another room that has a lot of depth, the wide receiver position. You know, there's a lot of young guys in here, but there are a lot of young guys in here. If you know what I mean, Camden Brown probably starting on the at the X position on the outside. Saw some great things from him later on in the year. Last season, Coy Moore, LSU transfer, probably going to be getting the nod at the Z. And then Javaris Johnson, the leading receiver on last year's squad, going to be getting the nod at the H, or the slot position, if I'm not mistaken, Dylan.
Yeah, and if you look at the backup, second string for Camden Brown is Landon King. I think that's probably the best 1-2 depth chart on any position on this team. Yeah, because I'm expecting both those guys, Camden Brown and Landon King, to be like breakout players for this offense. And I love Camden Brown. He's one of my favorite players that came from last year's recruiting class. And I mean, how can you not love Landon King?
I had somebody consistently asking me throughout last season, like, who's your favorite player on the team? Who's your favorite player? And I had a really tough time answering that question, but I consistently came back to, I like Camden Brown. I think he's got a lot of potential. I think he carries himself well based on what I've seen. And I'm excited to see what he could be for this Auburn offense as somebody that you could see on the outside. It's interesting how Malcolm Johnson Jr. and Tavarish Dawson haven't really gotten an opportunity to shine, but they're still here. And they're still going to be rotating in. Some other players to watch: Dequavius Sori, the true freshman, Jay Fair, Amari Kelly. I mean, again, this is a really deep room. It's just not a lot of experience to go around, but the guys are moving up, and in a Hugh Freeze offense, I think you could see some of these guys get quite a few targets. You're looking at a couple different players in the transfer portal right now, Dylan. Just something I wanted to point out really quick here. You're looking at a couple different guys, maybe the player from Cincinnati, if I'm not mistaken, Nick Thornton, if I'm not, I may be wrong on that.
I think it's Mardner, I believe.
Nick Mardner. He's a 6'6" receiver, formerly at Hawaii, was playing under Marcus Davis just a couple of years ago, Auburn's new receivers coach. But yeah, adding somebody else on the outside here, I don't think would be a bad idea.
Yeah, you're looking at, if you look at Nick Mardner, yeah, 6'6", 185 pounds. He kind of has the same build as another star wide receiver in the NCAA with Quentin Johnston yet again. But here's the thing. He has 2 inches on Quentin Johnston.
There you go.
He is 2 inches taller. And, I mean, we missed out on some guys already with Jamari Thrash and Jaden Thompson. Both went to Louisville. So Jeff Brohm is killing it over there at Louisville right now. But, I mean, size at the wide receiver position matters more than most other positions do, except for maybe tight end. But Camden Brown – and I believe Landon King will kind of negate any need for some transfers, because you're like, these two guys are going to pop off.
I think Auburn's essentially just trying to be next year's TCU. I mean, I think a lot of signs point to Auburn setting themselves up to potentially do that. You got a dual threat quarterback. You got some young guys on the outside. You got a revamped defense, first year head coach. I mean, a lot of signs point to, hey, the BetOnline actually just recently released their championship odds for next year. TCU 100-1 odds, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
I believe so.
Auburn's a 100-1 odd favorite to win the national title.
Do you know what TCU's record was last season?
Don't tell me it was 5-7.
It was 5-7.
Well, there you go. Auburn's going to the Natty. Ladies and gentlemen, book it. You know, to be honest with you, it all kind of makes too much sense, because that's kind of what Auburn does in first year head coaches not named Brian Harsin, but they normally have a really good season to start things off. So that's something to monitor there. But a little too much time spent on the receiver room. Let's move on. Tight ends, Rivaldo Fairweather, transfer from FIU. Auburn's got a lot of depth here. Luke Deal, Tyler Fromm have been here for 25 years. Brandon Frazier, also somebody that's maybe had 3 catches that is still in this room. And then Mike Riley Ducker, somebody that got a little action late last year. John Samuel Schenker, after spending 30 years of his own with the Tigers, has decided to finally move on. I believe it was 6 years. I'm just playing. But Rivaldo was a machine in FIU's offense as a tight end. And it's so hard to project what some of these new guys are going to do from a production standpoint. Like, statistically, like if he's going to be able to get the catches and the yards. But I mean, he should be, I don't want to say a focal point, but somebody Auburn can rely on.
There are two guys in the NFL who I believe both are in the playoffs right now, who were tight ends under Hugh Freeze-led offense, and that is Evan Engram and Dawson Knox. And I believe Rivaldo Fairweather, my one note for tight end position is Rivaldo Fairweather superiority. I believe he is going to also be a breakout player. And you brought up John Samuel Schenker. I don't know how much he was a great pass catcher, and he was also a decent baseball player as well. Can't forget him on the baseball side of things.
Yes, sir.
But I think Michael Riley Ducker is someone that we can – I would like to see a little bit more out of in this offense, especially because when you flip a guy from Iowa at the tight end position –
you expect big things.
He's probably good. So, and especially with Brendan Frazier, 6'7". So,
Of course, he also probably saw what was going on the offensive side of the ball and decided, you know what, Brian Harsin over what's going on with the Hawkeyes offense, which is an interesting decision. But yeah, I agree with you. Anytime you steal a guy from somebody like Iowa at that position, you expect some production. Offensive line's probably the biggest point of interest here. So you've got a couple different transfer portals in Gunnar Britton and Dylan Wade. You expect those to be your left and right tackles, if I'm not mistaken. Jeremiah Wright would probably be starting at left guard. We're going to be monitoring the situation with Micah Mazuka, the transfer from Baylor. Again, he's going to be committing tomorrow. Like Dylan said, if he does commit, I would expect him to slot in at left guard. I believe that's where he played primarily for the Baylor Bears. Your center, Connor Liu, is going to be a true freshman. That's going to be fun after seeing what happened with the center position this year. And again, hearkening back to what we talked about last week, something that Dylan pointed out that I don't think a lot of people are talking enough about, and just how much that affected Auburn's offensive line last year. Going to be going into a really rough spot again with that. I wouldn't say rough. It's inexperienced is what I should say. And then you've got Xavier Miller at right guard as well. So essentially a revamped offensive line with a couple different backups that we've seen before.
Yeah, it'd be really interesting to see if Micah Mazuka does commit, because you're going to have a full offensive line full of guys who were not on the team last season. And I think Connor Liu is probably going to be a big focal point of this offense with his ability. If you watch the All-American game, Connor Liu was making a bunch of five stars look like middle schoolers out there. He was throwing people around, and Connor Liu is my favorite recruit from this entire class. But, I mean, this is just an awesome offensive line compared to last season.
It's going to be different. And I think just to talk about going back with Robbie, if he's able to take over this QB1 spot, giving him an actual offensive line is going to do wonders for him. I think I'm really excited to see what that looks like. Also another note here. I think I'm looking at the two deep here. I think six of our projected players on the two deep are redshirt or freshmen or redshirt freshmen. So good luck with that as far as experience goes. But hey, like we said about the linebacker spot, it needed to kind of be blown up. It needed to kind of be revamped. And I think Auburn's gone out and they've done a lot of great things, and they're still looking to do a little bit more with that offensive line position. Is there anything else we want to note before we move on to here, Dylan?
I think we're ready to go to the defense. The offense looks like it's going to be a top two offense in the in college football next year. So we just go straight to defense.
Yeah, just go straight. We've got the TCU vibes going on. So obviously we're going to pop off, and Robbie Ashford's going to be a Heisman candidate. Sources say he's not focused in having fun, but we'll see what happens as the summer rolls along. Defense, 4-2-5. We talked about it last week. Ron Roberts is going to bring in his 4-2-5 scheme. Very similar to what Kevin Steele used to run quite a bit with the Tigers. Starters on the D-line, Jason Jones, Marcus Harris, Messiah Nasili-Kite. We have currently projected as a starter in this base set. Dylan, tell me a little bit more about this rotation.
There's a lot of weight in that rotation. That's going to be a defensive line that's going to be a force to be reckoned with, and you're not going to have a fun time trying to rush against this defensive line. Especially the fact that I think Jason Jones is around 6'4". He's a big boy. And all three of those guys, or I know, except for Marcus Harris, he's up there, but Jason Jones and Messiah are definitely over 300 pounds.
Yep. You've got a lot of experience there up front, and then you've got some more depth and weight, like you said. You've got Quintrell, Jameson Travis, who is also a transfer coming in. Jeffrey Emba's still here. Tebechi Okoli still here. Ansi Sledge is still here. Stephen Johnson is a true freshman on D-line. You've got several different guys, including Keldrick Falk, who's probably going to be starting for the Tigers, I think, or at least heavily in the rotation at defensive end, just based on his talent alone. You've got several different players in this rotation that could find their way up to, I don't want to say starting roles, but I think as far as snaps go, I think Auburn could probably rotate here heavy if they wanted. It's very similar to last year in the fact that Auburn's like, oh, we got so many different players, we could probably rotate them out and balance them. But I truly do believe outside of Jones and Harris, you've got a lot of different newcomers that we'll probably see early on in the season kind of mix and match. Maybe Auburn figures it out and they rock with just like a shortened list and they have that depth still. But I don't know. I just think that there are so many different names on here that I could get excited about that I can only speculate Auburn is going to just simply try things out and give them those snaps. So
a lot of future household names in this list.
Absolutely. I think that you're probably going to see some of these guys pop off. And again, I just think a lot of opportunities are going to be given out with Ron Roberts in this defensive line as they head into year one. Edge rushers, you've got Elijah McAllister. And to be honest with you, I think Keldrick Falk probably gets in a little bit here, if I'm not mistaken. I forget whether or not Falk is comfortable playing edge or if he was a defensive lineman coming out of high school. But you've got McAllister, Dylan Brooks is still here. Brenton Williams is also going to be here. You don't have a lot of depth here. But again, I think that's why you're going to see so many different guys getting opportunities.
Yeah, and Dylan Brooks, if you remember from last season, he flipped. Was he a 5-star or a 4-star?
He was a high 4-star, if I'm not mistaken.
We flipped him from Tennessee. And Dylan Brooks is a monster of a human being. And you can probably already guess that because he has a great first name. I mean, you can't go wrong with a Dylan.
You can't go wrong.
No, but sir. Yeah, I expect Elijah McAllister and Dylan Brooks to be a great, nice 1-2 punch. And you brought up Keldrick Falk a little bit. He is 270 pounds, so I do believe that he is going to be more of a defensive end look.
Yeah, defensive and not necessarily an edge. That makes sense. Regardless, though, I think Auburn could probably – what do you think? Could Auburn probably stand to get one more guy here? I'd like to think.
I think the difference between Elijah McAllister and Dylan Brooks, and then there's a giant gap. I don't want to say not giant gap, but Brent Williams has you want some guys with a little bit more experience. I think you can get maybe one more guy to kind of have behind Dylan Brooks. Yeah. And I mean, edge rushers are they're a necessity in today's defensive world.
Linebackers, it's interesting. Lindsey has DeMario Tolan and then Robert Woodyard starting at linebacker. And then he's got Cam Riley and Wesley Steiner, the seniors, backing him up. Eugene Asante does, in fact, exist. He is still here. Desmond Tisdall, Cam Brown, Jake Levant, Powell Gordon, all those guys from the rotation last season, they're still here. Auburn needs a little bit of help here at this position, Dylan.
Yeah, and you're looking at when you look at the starters and the backups, you can see that the two of the youngest guys in this entire linebacker room are the two starters on this list. And one of them you took from a transfer portal out of LSU, and the other one you flipped from Alabama. So these two are good. I mean, when you get a guy from two SEC West foes like LSU and Alabama, you pretty much know that these are the top-notch linebackers that these two schools really wanted. I mean, LSU was not happy whenever DeMario Tolan went to Auburn anyways. So I think these two form a nice punch as well. I'm going to keep saying a 1-2 punch because at 4-2-5, these two guys are going to be fast, strong linebackers who are going to make life really tough for quarterbacks.
Curious to see what that starting pair looks like there for the linebacker position. If Auburn tinkers with it, because again, a lot of struggles with that group last year, especially with Owen Papo still suffering from injury. The final position before we move on to special teams here, Dylan, defensive backs, essentially all the starters are back. Nehemiah Pritchett, DJ James, two corners on the outside. They're going to be returning. Jalen Simpson, Zion Puckett, Donovan Kaufman. I mean, all these guys are coming back. A question here for you, Dylan, as you start to break this down. Was DJ James the best player on Auburn's defense last season?
I do believe so. He kind of adds to that how balanced that trade was for Bo Nix and Robbie Ashford and DJ James. I think he is going to be the top corner in this class, and I think, or in this on this team. And I think he could be like a Carlton Davis type player who has a great season, goes to the draft, becomes a great corner in the NFL as well. He seems like that Carlton Davis-esque defensive back.
Very wise of Auburn to identify the fact that they've got a lot of experience, older guys that are going to be graduating this year, going out. It's really, really wise of them to not only build on the depth that they already have with just a couple different these JUCO transfers like Keontae Scott, but also coming in and bringing in a loaded freshman class like we've been talking about. So Auburn should be good at that spot for years to come. Really, really glad Wesley McGriff is back on staff recruiting alongside Zach.
I can do one more point about this. If you look at some of these guys in the backups with Austin Osberry, JD Rhyme, Kyan Lee, these are some kids that would be starting on other teams, and there are backups. That's just going to put it out there how good the secondary room is.
I'm sure there are quite a few SEC teams and then a lot of Power 5 teams that would be very pleased to see some of these guys in their defensive backfield. Probably not going to be too happy to be seeing them on Auburn's side whenever they do play them. Specialist, final thing here, Oscar Chapman, the Aussie, is back for one more year with the Tigers, and Alex McPherson, brother of Evan McPherson, is going to get the nod as the kicker for the Tigers. Looked good in his limited action that he got last year. Marshall Myers is probably going to be the backup punter. Evan McGuire, if I'm not mistaken, from Opelika, if I may be wrong there, but he's going to be the backup kicker for the Tigers. I think Auburn should be in good hands here with the specialist. McPherson should be a beast.
Yeah, if you didn't watch our 2021 Iron Bowl, Oscar Chapman was definitely the Auburn MVP of that game. He's a great punter. Expect him on the Ray Guy watch list right at the start of the season. Alex McPherson, he hopefully with this specialist group, Auburn should expect to see a little bit more consistency than what we have been seeing as of late. I think Alex McPherson has that same talent level. I don't want to say of a Daniel Carlson, but definitely of like a Cody Parkey level kicker. And he's got the same stature. He has probably a stronger leg than Parkey does. So I'm expecting a huge season out of the redshirt freshman.
I like that comp. I like that comp to Parkey, and I agree. I think he's going to bring consistency to a special teams unit, a field goal kicking unit that has not necessarily had that for a couple of years now. It's been a little bit of a struggle. Now that Auburn has moved on from the Carlson brothers, even though they have made their imprinted their names in the Auburn legend books. So shout out to them. But McPherson, I think, is going to be able to do a lot of great things for this Auburn Tigers team. A lot of high expectations, Dylan, I think, already as Auburn starts to build things up. And as we go through this Auburn depth chart again, we didn't hit every single thing in the article, so you can go check it out on auburndaily.com. Lindsey Crosby wrote it. If you want to go read through this again, you can give your thoughts on the depth chart in the comments below. Let us know what you thought. Dylan, any final closing thoughts before we head out here?
War Eagle.
There you go. I was literally about to say, I don't really think there's anything else to say other than just War Eagle. Broncos country, let's ride. TCU Horned Frogs, let's go Horned Frogs tonight for the national championship game against Georgia. That's going to do it for today's episode of the Auburn Daily Show. Zach and Lindsey on tomorrow. You can follow Dylan and I on Twitter at your boy the tank at @LanceDahl_. You can also check us out over on Twitter at the Auburn Daily, and then you can check out all of our written work over at auburndaily.com. Make sure you tune in tomorrow's episode of the Auburn Daily Show. Hope you guys all have a good one.